Last week, we looked at a lesson, I can't. And we looked at the things that we can't do, such as please God without faith. We looked at the idea that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven if we're unrighteous. Today, I want us to look at the concept, I can. Virginia and Letta might remember that poster during World War II of the Rosie the Riveters, you know, having that attitude, I can, that we can do it. I want us to look today at the many things that we can do. There is a lot of people, maybe even you. I know it's gone through my mind. At times, I can't do this or I can't do that. Maybe lack of self-confidence. Maybe not fully realizing abilities that you've got. Things like this. It's the attitude. And I want us to look at some things that we can do. Okay? One of the things that we can do is we can pray. Regardless of who we are, we can pray as children. We can pray as senior citizens and everybody in between. Don't say, I can't do anything for the kingdom of God. Oh, I can't. There might be some things that you're not as good at as others. But you know what? We can pray. It's free. We don't have to pay anything to pray. Maybe you can't afford to help out in this area financially where others could. You know what? Praying's a cheap way to serve God. You know, it doesn't cost you a dime. Maybe some wear and tear on our knees, bending down before God, you know, before God to pray. One of the things that you can pray for, if you ever run out of ideas of what to pray for, you can pray for ourselves. You can pray for yourself, for your service in the kingdom. You can pray for others. Pray for the things that other people are going through. When we have announcements, when we read the bulletin, I tell you, she'll probably kick me for it, but she's far away, although she does have big feet. I thank Stacy for doing the bulletin every week, for putting the time and energy. I see what goes into it. That gives us the information of people that need prayers and the people that request prayers. We can pray for others. We can go to God on behalf of others. When we know that we're facing a trial, when we're facing a tribulation, to know that brothers and sisters are going to God on behalf of you, that's amazing. We can pray for the church. The church needs your prayers. Not only our congregation, pray for the work going on in the other congregations in this valley. Pray for the work that's going on nationwide with the church. The church needs our prayers right now. It not only needs our work and our service, it needs our prayers. We are in some perilous times. There are people right now that would love to shut religion down. They would, in fact, there are those that give the right hand of fellowship in government to the atheists that want to promote that. We are under attack. We can bury our heads in the sand, or we can pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the church worldwide. Pray for the work that's going on in the congregations that we're helping to support in Kenya. I look at some of the things that David Maru posts with the congregation we're helping in Kenya and the school that he's working with and the people that they're baptizing. And I rejoice. I think of the work Malcolm Parsley has done over 60 years. Going on 70 years, no, 60 years in South Korea. The work that we're supporting in Mexico. Pray for that work. It does so much and it costs us nothing. It's free. A good return for our investment. In Hebrews 4:16, we're reminded, let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. Do you ever approach God sometimes timidly? I know I do. Sometimes that I don't even belong going to God in prayer. But we're reminded, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him and help in time of need. We can approach God the Creator. How? Through prayer. If that doesn't give us power and strength, I don't know what does. That we can approach our Creator, the Creator of everything. And we can go to him in prayer. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. How Jesus went into the parable that he wants men to pray to God and never lose heart. Has it ever gone through your mind? God, can you even hear me? Do you even hear my words? I bet you one time or another, most Christians have gone through that. We do not have to. Jesus himself tells us we can pray and not lose heart. In Mark 14, verse 38, we see a very good example. One of the last things that Jesus does while he is able to. He's facing crucifixion. He's getting ready to be arrested. And I've said it many times. I know me. I'd be worried, how am I going to fight them off when they come? How am I going to get out of Jerusalem? Who's got a horse? How are we going? Those would be the things. What does Jesus do? He spends the time, his last moments before being arrested, he is spending it in prayer. And he's teaching his followers that very lesson. What am I doing? And he's telling them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's how we can strengthen ourselves, is through prayer. We've got that at our disposal. That is one of the weapons in our arsenal to fight the devil. Philippians 4:6, the verse that, and I'm glad that Preston even brought this up, our main scripture verse was 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Before this, Paul is writing and he says, be anxious for nothing. Do you ever get anxious? Do you ever worry? Ever get kind of beside yourself in worry? I got a feeling I'm not the only one. I'm seeing some nudges and some nods and some, I'm seeing it out there. I'm not the only one. I guess I'm in good company. Paul told the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We need to make sure we don't view God as just a Santa Claus figure that you ask with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Always have that attitude of thanksgiving when we go to prayer to God. But let your requests be known to God. Paul is telling, there's nothing wrong with letting our requests be known. Jesus in the what we refer to as the model prayer includes some of our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows we need these things, but we can go to God the Father, God the Creator, in prayer. And that's something we can do. We can let our light shine. Hopefully we can. Through behavior. We let our light shine in our behavior. People will see a sermon before they ever hear it from us. They will hear a sermon, but they also see it. They see the lessons of God we teach through the way we live our lives. Every day that we leave that house, really before we even leave the house, those in the house see the sermon we're giving. Our attitude, not only our behavior, we might go through the motions of doing the right stuff, but do we have the right attitude with it? We kind of touched on that in Bible class today, how the scribes and Pharisees might have done a lot of the right stuff, but they didn't have the right attitude. They said the prayers, but their attitude was to be seen by men. They did fast, but they did it to be seen by men. And we can let our light shine through our teaching. This is something that can be done regardless of age, regardless of the abilities that we have. I love how the men get up Sunday nights. We rotate and the men get up. I'm not going to say anything that people... Some people have more ability than others. There's a lot of people that have different abilities on Sunday mornings. But I love the fact that the men are willing to prepare a lesson and present a lesson from God's Word. And in my eyes, and I got a feeling in God's eyes, I don't think He's listening to how well it's presented as what's being presented. Gender. You women, let your light shine. You never get an opportunity to get up and give a lesson from the pulpit. But you women, let your light shine every day. Every day. You kids at school, in your neighborhood. Gavin, when you play with other kids in your neighborhood, you can let your light shine by playing fair. When we go to school, Chase back there, you can let your light shine and let people know that you go to church. Somebody's let their light shine to you. Somebody let their light shine to you. It might have been a parent. You might have been raised in a Christian home. Thank those parents that they were good examples to you, that they let their light shine to you as the child, that they taught you, they brought you to the worship services. Somebody might have let their light shine at work or at school. That's what happened to me. A friend at school invited me to church with him. 40 some years ago. And it started with that. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He's wanting them, you let your light shine. Let your light shine before people where they see what you're about. They're going to see what we're about one way or the other. One way or the other. We're giving a lesson regardless. What is it? What's the lesson about? That's what we have to ask ourselves. What are they seeing from us? We can repent. Every one of us can repent. One of the reasons people don't repent is that sin of the world, pride. By repenting, we have to say we were wrong. Not everybody can say that. There's a lot of hard-hearted people that can't bring themselves to say I was wrong. I remember, man, how long ago was Happy Days on? 45 years ago? I remember Fonzie could never bring himself to say he was wrong. He'd say, Richie, I was... He couldn't bring himself to do it. How many of us are like that? That we can't... Our pride's keeping us from patching something up with a brother or sister or a family member or a friend, a neighbor, because we don't want to take that step of saying we're wrong. What about when we do that to God? I'm not going to repent because repenting says I was wrong. I'm going to stick to my guns all the way to hell. One of the good stories found in the Bible is the story of redemption. From cover to cover. One of the stories we see is God's love for us. One of the stories we see is the nature of man. Another story we see is redemption. We do not always have to stay the same person we are. We can change. Peter did it. Paul did it. We can do it. In Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He's talking to certain individuals, but it applies to us today. He was in a certain setting, talking about a certain issue, talking to certain people. But tell me that that doesn't apply today. That if we don't repent of our sins, we can ride them all the way straight to hell. If we don't repent. In Acts, the second chapter, Peter and the apostles were given that great gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 37, now when they had heard this, what the message was, to Peter was recapping and reminding them of the history of the Jewish people. That Jesus was the Savior that they were looking for. The Savior that we've been waiting for, teaching about, teaching our children every generation to prepare for. This Savior was Jesus. And you crucified Him. That's a hard one to swallow. You killed Him. You killed the Savior. Verse 37, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. It killed them when they realized what they had done. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a remedy for it. They could continue being the crucifier of the Savior. But that day, 3,000 were baptized. They repented. They didn't have to go on being this person that they were. I hope we've repented. We don't have to stay the same person we used to be. That's the good news. That's the good news. In Acts 10, when Paul was on Mars Hill, he said, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." God was patient with us. God was patient with me. Didn't condone the things that we did. Gave us time to repent. Still is giving us time to repent. Another thing we can do is be saved. We make that choice. We're provided that opportunity. We have that opportunity. It's not something we could do. If any of you could figure out that we can do something outside of God and Jesus for us to be saved, I would love to hear it. Because I'm a goal-oriented person. I like having checklists and things to accomplish. And if you can figure out what I can do to be saved on my own, please let me know. We have been provided that opportunity. The price has been paid for us. The price was high. None of us could afford it. We could put all of our money together in one bucket, and we couldn't be able to afford that. The price was the Son of God. And God paid it Himself. He's not going to let the punishment slide because He's God. He can't not punish sin. But He loved us so much that He paid it for us. And the only sacrifice that was worthy of that sin, to take away the sin of the world, was His Son. And God paid it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." We have that opportunity. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wrote, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants us to be saved. God doesn't take delight in those that are going to go to hell. He doesn't relish in that idea. He wants all men to be saved, but He paid a high price for the requirements for us to be saved. If you can come up with a price better than His Son, He would take it. But I don't think we can. Mark 16:16. I've never understood the religious friends that I've got that want to skirt around this issue. I've never understood it. How Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." I'm a simple person. I really am. I don't understand anything around this other than Jesus says, if you want to be saved, you've got to be baptized. I don't get anything out of that other than that. There's a lot of things that we can boldly say, I can do. I can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you feel insignificant, when you feel like you can't do much, when you feel like you're too old and everything hurts too much, you realize there's a lot of things you can do. If you think, oh, I'm not old enough. I don't know enough yet. There's a lot of things you can do. Oh, I'm just a woman. Don't even be thinking that. There's a lot of things we can do. If there's anything that we can do to assist you in that call, in your walk, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you haven't been baptized and need to put your Lord on in baptism to be saved, we can assist you. If you have sin in your life that you need to repent from, do not take another minute and delay of repenting of your sins. You're not doing yourself any favors. Put that pride away. Repent. Put that pride away and bow your knees to God. Put that pride away and say, I need Jesus to be saved. Whatever your need, if you need prayers of the congregation, we can assist you. We have a few prayer cards that were sent forward. Whatever we can do for you, please come forward while we're led in song. Let's stand.